listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
This is Jackie King-Turner, and you're listening to Stratford Community Radio, your radio station. A big thank you to Andy Garside for a fabulous show. I don't know if you're still tuned in from earlier, but he had Wes Finch and his band on, who we all agree are going to be famous, don't we? And they were absolutely brilliant. We thoroughly enjoyed their music. So if you didn't hear, then I guess we'll probably have a recording to play at some point, won't we? Getting a nod from Sam here. Anyway, regular listeners will know that my show is called This Much I Know, and it's not how much I know, but the wisdom of my guests. And today I'm very pleased to welcome back a friend of the show, Dr. Angie Williams. They're calling you Dr. Angie Williams.
It sounds very posh, doesn't it?
It is. Well, we like big job titles on this show. So salsa dancer extraordinaire was just Angie Williams, but now you're doing your day job, you can be Dr. Angie Williams. And we look forward to introducing you as Professor Angie Williams at some point in the future.
Please, no.
As well as being a salsa aficionado, Angie is a senior lecturer at the Centre of Language and Communication at Cardiff University. And we're really pleased to welcome you back, Angie. So good afternoon.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Now, if you remember from before, Angie is a trained social psychologist and teaches a range of modules at Cardiff, including, and wait for it, this is almost as good as the job title, Communicating in Relationships. We should have had you on the Valentine's Day show,
really. Should have done, yeah.
Research Skills and Lifespan Communications. How about that? Now, as I mentioned, she was on the show in January talking about her love of all things salsa. So today we're going to talk about her day job, and in particular a piece of research which delves into the images of older people in the UK media and the advertisements, how they're portrayed. So if you've got any questions about that or about anything in particular, then send them in to me, info@myscr.co.uk. And also, remember, quick plug for the This Much I Know Facebook page. I put a photo of Natasha and me up on there from last week from the Literary Festival. So do keep a look on that, because I will put the information about future guests on there, and also as many photos that make it past the King Turner quality threshold, basically. Now, how do I find a cheesily relevant segue without falling into the trap identified by a lot of your research, actually, Angie, being patronising or whatever? And I make no apologies. It was a rather kind of low-key segue we just started with. I normally like to start the show with something a bit more upbeat, but I tried to find When I'm 64 by the Beatles, and so did you.
I did, yeah.
And I don't have it on CD, and it's not iTunable.
I couldn't find it on iTunes. Only covers by other bands.
Oh, we don't need that, do we?
No, I don't understand that, really, but there you are.
Indeed. So we had Eleanor Rigby, a bit kind of gloomy, but still.
Oh, yes. And then lonely Eleanor Rigby.
I know, and it's not all like that, is it?
So, no.
And also Police and Fields of Gold. I think that's a lovely song.
Yeah.
So slightly more mellow. Now, I was thinking about this myself, in really apropos of the research that you've done, and the first one that came to mind were Werther's Sweets, Werther's Original Sweets, you know, those boiled sweets with the granddad. And also, but on the flip side, there was also a really cool Guinness ad with a very muscular guy of a certain age who was doing a lot of swimming, and I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, an extraordinary sort of feat for an older person, wasn't it, I seem to remember?
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And how about, those of us of a certain age will also remember Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm getting nods.
That's a lovely ad, that one, isn't it?
Isn't it? So I'm getting nods from everyone but Sam, surprisingly. Oh, no change there. And I also have to put the one up for the Sisterhood and Twiggy in the M&S ads.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Twiggy, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I think that's
quite
pretty
good,
cool,
actually.
So all of that leads me into my slightly more upbeat, cheesily relevant segue, which is to start off with Tina Turner and Nutbush City Limits, just because I think she blows out of the water any age stereotype known to man, and therefore it was probably worth playing. And following that, we will have Bernard Cribbins and the Hole in the Ground song, because I think he has evolved through the ages as well. From, I remember listening to this song as well, again, Sam, you won't remember this one at all, Andy might or whatever, but basically it used to make me laugh when I was a child, and he's evolved through the Railway Children, various other acting exploits, and my family thought he was really cool as the granddad in the old series of Doctor Who.
myscr.co.uk.
This is Jackie King-Turner. You're listening to Stratford Community Radio, and you'll either have been listening to that going, what was that? Or you'll be listening to that thinking, I remember that. or whatever. Anyway, that was Bernard Cribbins and the Hole in the Ground song, preceded by something that I had absolutely no idea what it was. Perhaps I should listen to my CDs rather than check, just look for the titles on the song. That was Tina Turner strutting her stuff in a rather, well, it says on the CD, a 1990s version of Nutbush City Limits. Anyway, we are here with Dr. Angie Williams, Senior Lecturer at the Centre for Language and Communications at Cardiff University. And we're going to be talking about some research she's done into the images of older people in the UK media and advertisements. And this is obviously a hot topic because I've already had an email in, Angie, saying, So how old do I have to be one of Angie's older people?
Scary, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we selected ads, it was, with older people in, and they had to look 60 or over.
That's a tricky benchmark.
It is tricky, yeah.
So how did you decide? I mean, that's maybe a good way to lead on to my first question, which was, you know, how this particular piece of research came about. Because it must be quite difficult if you ask a teenager to find someone who looks at the age of 60 versus someone who's a bit closer or maybe in their 60s, what 60 looks like.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because, I mean, you probably know yourself from thinking about it. People who are an age that's distant from you, it's hard to tell exactly what age they are. I mean, I look at young people now, well, young women with babies, and think, oh my goodness, they look like they're 13, but they, you know, 20 or 22 or something. So yeah, so the ads, the 60 years old benchmark in the ads was selected by three researchers, in fact, and we were all older researchers.
Oh, goodness.
Our research assistant was pretty close to 60, actually.
And do you think, well, you must have got it pretty much bang on then, I guess.
Well, I think so, because we've since fed the ads back, you know, pictures back to people and said, how old do you think this person is? And to a whole range of people of different ages. And, of course, the average does come out around 60-ish. So we had it about right.
And how did you actually get into this area of academia?
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's an interesting question. It probably goes back in all sorts of different directions. But this particular piece of research, I think, was just stimulated by, well, we were already doing research on age and communication and aging and intergenerational communication. And one of our colleagues, actually, a colleague from Germany, had collected some ads, and she came to visit us, and she showed us her collection, very small collection of ads. And we just got really excited about it all and said, well, we really need to study this, and to study it in a European and British UK context, because previous research on images in the media was mostly from the USA.
And they're a bit different from us, aren't they, basically?
Well, similar but different, yeah.
Mind you, was the German all full of very fit older people hiking mountains and things? Or is that, oh dear, that's probably another stereotype, isn't it?
Probably. Oh, well, we felt that we found, you know, similarities across the British-German samples. But as I say, since then, I think that must have been probably getting on with 10 years ago. So since then, we have gone on to do our own research here in the UK and focus on that.
Mind you, I guess if you are surveying ads which maybe come from an American multinational that's rolling out a campaign pan-European, they all think all the countries in Europe are the same country anyway, so they may not necessarily differentiate between the UK and France and Germany or whatever, because some... Yeah. And I'm saying this from personal experience, having worked for major American multinationals and American multinational ad agency as well, in one instance, that they don't quite get Europe necessarily, a lot of them, unless they've travelled here a long time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't suppose... Well, I'm just trying to think about some of our ads in our database, and are they distinctly British? Nothing's springing to mind right now. They probably could easily be transferred to the American context.
We can tell on the TV ones because they've been dubbed very badly.
Some of them, yeah, yeah.
Or they don't have any... or they have a voiceover rather than anyone actually saying something,
that's
I guess.
That's true, yeah.
And how, this is a bit tricky for folks who haven't seen the research, but tell us a bit more about the magazines and things that you decided to survey and why you chose each individual one.
Yeah, again, you know, that's always going to be a tricky decision, and you can't look at everything, so you have to decide to cut it down somehow. So we were very lucky, in fact. We got a grant from the ESRC, which is the Economic and Social Research Council. So they gave us some money, which we wouldn't have been able to do anything without really that money. And then we decided to select a group of magazines in the first instance on the basis of the readership figures. And we decided that we wanted a group of different magazines going across different genres. So, for example, we had a women's magazine, we had Saga.
That made me laugh, really. You wonder if that's going to be your control, really.
It was, in a way, yeah. It did kind of work as a control for comparison purposes, yeah. But we also had magazines like Men's Health, The Economist, Radio Times, and I think BBC Good Food made it in there for readership, and Asda, supermarket magazine as well. So a whole range of different magazines.
I'm looking at the list here. Rugby World.
Rugby World. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, there's so much I could say about that, but won't.
So it was an attempt to capture. We had a magazine for young people as well, Marie Claire and FHM. That was it, for young men, a lad mag.
Indeed. And Good Housekeeping.
Good Housekeeping, yeah, that's right.
I'm at that age where I can almost see the point of Good Housekeeping now, and I think that's probably a real demographic and age thing.
It probably is. You're grown up.
I'm grown up now, exactly.
And you bake cakes.
I do, well, in fact. Yes, everyone knows, because it was actually my youngest daughter's birthday party yesterday, and I rather over-catered, so everyone's been eating cakes here this morning, and I've finished eating cakes already. Everyone's sitting here on a sugar high, smiling happily. Yes, I ought to interject just for a moment to say thank you to Lilac Ladybird just outside Leamington for doing a wonderful party for my daughter and her friends. They made teddy bears, which was very cute, actually.
Really nice, that's good.
And there was only one incident where one little boy swung his teddy bear around in anger and hit one other little girl in the eye and made her cry. Why do boys do that? I can't.
Testosterone.
It really was. Yeah, look at ads for little boys and they'll be doing something of a military nature. But I never ever thought I would see a soft teddy being used as an arm, you know, a dangerous implement. But anyway, that was the only blip on an otherwise excellent day. So thank you to Lilac Ladybird. And meanwhile, everyone else will just sit here. As everyone knows, I'm celiac, so I can't eat any of the cakes at all. But I'm glad that everyone else is enjoying them. Mm. Meanwhile, back to the magazines. The publishing world in the UK is very diverse, and it seems it must have been really hard to decide on your shortlist of which ones. And you said readership. Is it literally you're going for the highest possible?
Yeah, we were balancing the highest readership with the need to go across the range. So we wanted some men's, you know, and some general readership, and some women's, and some young people. So, you know, it was a bit of a balancing act, but well, I think we got there.
And one of the things that interests me in your research is that you've managed to segment that particular age group in a very interesting and diverse way. So tell us a bit about that. And then if anyone's listening and agrees, disagrees, or has a comment, then send an email in info@myscr.co.uk.
Yeah, you're probably referring to the typology, we call it, the different types. So if I just explain more or less what we did, well, with the mags, the magazine ads, I think we collected about 220-odd ads from magazines over a five-year period, and they all featured older people. And then we sort of analysed them and grouped them and sort of looked at them very carefully time and time and time again to see how older people were being portrayed and whether or not we could sort of catalogue a distinct set of types of portrayal. And I think we more or less achieved that. So we ended up with six types, and I think the most frequent type was what we call the golden ager. And this, in fact, this ties in with American research that shows that we have certain distinct stereotypes of older people. And one of those stereotypes is of older people as golden agers. And these are the people who are very lively, enjoying life, they're active and healthy, and almost certainly have money to burn. So that was the golden ages. Then we have the people, the types who are more sort of vulnerable and perhaps a little frail. But in advertising, of course, there's products to help them. So these products show them as coping with a frailty or dependency or something like that. And then we have mentors, or what you might call matriarchs or patriarchs. So these are very images of very wise and knowledgeable types. And one of our ads had Desmond Tutu in, and so he was one of those kinds of...
I think he falls into plenty, that category, doesn't he?
Yeah, plenty of gravitas there. And then we had, in fact, to a lesser extent, we found perfect grandparents, which is another stereotype that's shared. I think we all have images we can think of right away, can't we, of perfect grandparents. Usually who make cakes, grandmothers are called.
Oh, I know I'm not looking good today, but I'm not quite that old. Well, no, I have to say one of the women in my belly dancing troupe who's nearly 10 years younger than me is a grandmother, so I shouldn't really say that. Could be absolutely any age biologically possible, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, yeah, and so we've got these images of the perfect sorts of grandparents.
Knitting always comes to mind with me. Grandmothers knit.
Oh, knit. Yes, they knit. They bake cakes.
Crochet.
And they crochet and they give you money.
That's also true.
And of course, they're very wise and kindly.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of the other types we have. Cheeky was another one. And those were very sort of humorous, playful kinds of older people that were shown in these ads. I don't know if I've got all of them now.
One thing struck me from the ad point of view, particularly regarding the frail ones, is that as you go through your life, you are a target demographic for advertisers. But in some of those areas of your life, it's not you that's going to be making the purchasing decision from the ad. So, for example, my children wouldn't have chosen which formula milk or baby food to have when they were tiny. I would have done that.
Mm.
But then you go through, although they now say certain TV channels have been banned in our household because whatever comes on the ads, it's mummy, I want that. Mm. And things. So that's where they're trying to shift the power into they decide what they buy.
Mm.
Mind you, they also come, there's another reason why a particular channel has been banned, because they'd come out saying, have you planned your financial future?
Yeah.
I think, no, that should not be on a children's TV daytime channel, I'm afraid. That's not appropriate. But then if you go through an age, a big chunk of your life where you are making the purchasing decisions, and you get to a point in your life where maybe somebody else is going to be spotting a product they think you need. And I thought particularly in that category came the ads for people who are not coping on their own at a certain age. There's one that makes my toes curl every time I see it. Some poor woman who's flat out unable to get up again, but it's all right because she's got her panic button.
Yeah.
Now, I do not know any person of the age to get that, to buy that product, who would willingly go out and buy that product. Speaking for someone who was brought up by my one of my grandparents, it was me driving the purchasing decisions for the products that she needed to help keep her slightly safer in the home.
Mm.
There's no way anyone would want to admit, that's an issue, I guess, is the whole frailty thing. Nobody wants to admit that they are that frail and therefore that they're going to be buying the panic button or the Stanner chairlift or the funny walk-in bath things.
Yeah, you're right. There's several points here. There's the problem of falling into the trap of feeling or positioning older people as if they're like children, need to be looked after. And you mentioned about baby formula and so on. So yes, I think there's a certain, you're right, that certainly ads that we found in Saga magazine, we thought might be aimed at actually the children of, middle-aged children of elderly parents. And so we did have an ad in our database that just like the one you've described with the lady on the, who had obviously fallen and she was on the floor. And in fact, in the magazine ad, she was named June. And June was going to be, you know, pretty much okay. Thank goodness she had an aid call with her. And so there's this picture of this rather distressed looking lady in a nightgown on the floor. And we do think possibly those ads are aimed at middle-aged children of older people because they'll be the ones who'd be worried about their older parents. But maybe it sort of will kind of assuage their feelings of guilt and so forth if they buy these products. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe some older people would get to the stage where they feel, actually, I feel a bit more secure on my own if I had some of these items. But yeah, interestingly enough, with the one I was just talking about with June, when we showed this ad to older consumers and said, "What do you think of it?" This ad, among others, they noticed that June was looking very well made up with a lovely hairdo.
Oh yes, you can't be looking a wreck when you've fallen and broken your hip, can you? Basically.
So older consumers are very well aware of some of the tricks of the trade of advertising, and actually sometimes very critical, very media literate, one might say. They know what's going on and they know they're being targeted by advertisers.
Excellent. I think it's always good to be like that anyway.
Mm. And we do encourage that in older people too, of course.
Definitely. Gosh, we've got very intense there for a moment.
We have, haven't we?
This is Stratford Community Radio.
You're listening to This Much I Know on your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. And we have Angie Williams here, Dr. Angie Williams, talking about her research into the portrayal of older people in the UK and accompanied by her buddy Imogen,
yeah,
who is being quiet. A complete star. Absolutely. We were talking while that was... Oh, we did have a little political sideways track, didn't we? But that's absolutely not for broadcast, but interesting anyway. But one of the things that we have chatted about while the music's been on is how the media themselves and the advertisers have got involved in the research. And you were mentioning a particular olive oil-based spread that the ad agency for that... Oh, you can say them, and I'll just
say... Can I
say
it?
Yeah, other olive oil-based spreads are available in case anyone is getting... If they want to sponsor the show, that's absolutely fine.
They've changed their name now, anyway.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Well, who is it then? Tell us who it is. Well, what are
it
they now
used to be
for?
Olivia, now Bertoli.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't realise they changed. How brand aware am I?
Oh, they even had an advertising campaign when they changed.
Okay, that must have missed me. Well, I'm so busy preparing my radio show for everybody. I don't watch that much telly anymore.
Oh.
Apart from very interesting programmes about Hilltown Indian railway stations. Well, it was interesting. I thought it was fabulous.
It was really good.
And I want to go there.
It made me want to go there, actually.
Yes.
Did you see the British backpackers piling off that train?
I didn't. I've seen one whole programme and I saw the last 10 minutes of last night. But my husband's family, his grandmother, I think, lived over in Darjeeling for part of her life. So he wants to watch it because it's kind of part of his roots sort of thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I looked at that thinking, gosh, I might even dare to go. I wonder if it's possible to go to India and travel and just do the hill towns.
I
want to go to Kerala as well in the south.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to do the middle bit.
You'll have to take a gap year.
I think I will. Yes, with primary school age children, maybe we'll have to just, I don't know. Well, there's a thing in one of the Sunday newspapers about someone who took their children out of school to go and do a mini gap, well, I suppose gap quarter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not quite at that point, I don't think. Year 6 and entrance exams next year, so maybe big holidays.
Responsibilities.
Absolutely. So in the meantime, Bertoli, tell us about how they were involved.
Yeah, well, we... perhaps people have seen these ads. I'm sure that people have seen these ads. Certainly they've seen the TV ads of Bertoli, and there's some really famous ones. Do you recall the one with the older gentleman who's Italian town, Hilltown? He's got his shopping, walking through the town on his way home. And what happens? A runaway pram comes flying past him. And what does he do? Drops his shopping because he's all achy and painy, isn't he, on the way up the hill. And then he's after this pram like a, you know, spring chicken, and grabs hold of it and rescues it. So that's a Bertoli ad, quite a well-known one.
You know, I think I would eat that if I thought it would
enhance your performance.
Absolutely. I know I've fallen off too many horses. I'm far too creepy.
So the whole point of this campaign, it was all set in Italy on the Mediterranean. And the whole thing was a Mediterranean diet, which included olive oil and especially olive oil margarine spread. As part of your diet, was going to give you longevity and active and a lively, a lovely old age, a happy old age. And so there were a magazine ad campaign as well as a TV ad campaign. They're great ads, actually. They really are good fun ads. And when we got involved with this, we actually got involved because we were looking at the magazine ads campaign as a bit of a kind of a case study. And so we got in touch with the advertisers to see, you know, where they were coming from, really. And it was quite interesting because we sort of said to them, well, why did you decide to use old people then? They said, well, we didn't really. We just sort of hit on it as a theme and ran with it. And then when we decided to use old people and connect it with the health of a Mediterranean diet, we thought, okay, so we use Italian old people. And so on they went with that.
And these people, listeners, are paid six-figure salaries a year. And their jobs are, oh, we just came up with it.
Yeah,
great.
Do you know what, too? Something to bear in mind is they're young people, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they'll be sitting in a Soho office somewhere with their Kappa Frappa double espresso chinos.
Oh, stereotypes.
Absolutely. Oh, I feel I can do this because, as I have said, I used to work for a big American ad agency in my early 20s in London. So, yes, I was just down the road from Soho, actually.
You've got the inside story.
St. James's Square, just off Piccadilly. So, yes, it wasn't Kappa Frappuccino double espresso with soy lattes then, though, because they didn't exist. I'm that old.
Well, anyway. Of course, as you know, the bottom line always is that they've got to sell things. And so so when we were in touch with them, they sent us their I don't know what you call them, their internal position papers that they'd written about how well the campaign was going. One interesting finding that they got out of this was looking at sales figures when they included older people in the ads. Older people from the Mediterranean, sales went up, as you might expect. So it was a successful advertising campaign. But even more than that, sales to young people also went up. So that was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Did they extrapolate any reason for that?
I think it was just the feel-good factor. And when we questioned them about this, they said it made people feel good because it also made people remember their holidays abroad. Generally a feel-good factor.
I was thinking about that, picturing in my mind's eye those ads and thinking, I want to be there.
Oh, don't you just?
It's like the Mamma Mia thing, you know, when you see them sitting around under the olive trees, I want to be there now.
You can just taste it, can't you?
Yes. And that's what they want, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they want. Well, mind you, today's nice, isn't it? It's like the Mediterranean. Oh. Well, it looks like it out the window. Anyway.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I'm just looking at our wonderful, Sam, does that, our wonderful weather vane thingy on the wall do temperature? It tells us what the weather's like in rugby.
25
degrees. That's what is that the weather in rugby? No, it can't possibly. That must be here.
I don't know.
It says it's cloudy, but in Stratford, clear blue sky. And again, a slight digression. Isn't it weird having no vapour trails in the sky?
Oh, yes.
Very
yes,
strange.
Yes.
This will date this broadcast somewhat. So if you ever listen to this and it's not on today, 17th of April, then you'll know it's not today because undoubtedly there will be planes in the sky. But just walking from the car park here today,
yeah,
it was so weird looking up and the sky is plain blue. No clouds, no vapour trail.
MySCR.co.uk.
This is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. And a huge thank you to Dr. Angie Williams, who has inspired us all to avoid those age-related stereotypes.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
And we've really enjoyed having you. And thank you to Imogen, you've been a complete star.
She's been so quiet.
Indeed, well done, good experience. And thank you to Sam for all the technical input. And we managed to let you off talking about teenage relationships. How relieved are you? So remember to look at the Facebook page for the latest information and photos. This Much I Know on Facebook. And next week we'll be welcoming Jonathan Baker, who's the headmaster of Shipston High School, to the show, along with a couple of his students, I believe. So it's going to be best behaviour all round next week. It could be exciting because I think I may be in the Shakespeare's birthday parade just beforehand as part of Miramar. So you never know, I might need to do the show in full belly dance costume. Could be very entertaining and very jangly. And see you all next week.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.